You want to do the intro or do you want me to do the intro?
I can do it, I guess. It's been a while since I've done it.
Sure.
Okay, cool. Ready?
Yeah.
Let me just turn it on. All right. Welcome back. And okay, let me do that again. Wait for your focus. Okay, focus. Hello, good evening. Welcome again. Let me do that again.
To the Twilight Zone.
Twilight Zone, yes. Cool. I don't know, it's always hard. It's like, hey, welcome. I blinked out. I was like, yeah. Forward to
welcome
seven.
Back. This is our review of, we haven't done it in a while.
See, David, you're so good at this.
I think it's because I got to do a lot of presentations at work.
There you go. I don't think you have to do any.
Welcome back. This is our review for the last, was it 4 or 5 episodes of Creature Commandos?
Yeah, it's episode 4 to 7 of Creature Commandos. Yeah,
we honestly just kind of forgot about this review.
We're all kind of busy with David.
Well, I guess it's me then. I forgot about it. I've been busy with life. I've been busy with a bunch of shit.
Yeah, the married life?
No, well, not the married life. Close to it. Close. We're getting close there.
Speaking of... My buddy
just
of mine...
I was going
to
say...
What happened? Talk. Real quick, a buddy of mine watched the last episode, and he was like, "Well, you're married?" And I was like, oh. Yeah, I said that. I was like, whoops. JK, I am not. Because, you know, you texted me, and I was like, what is he talking about? No, I'm not. I was like, oh, yeah. That's right, I did say it. And David has gone mute.
That's funny. Just watch, everyone's going to reach out to you and be like, you're married.
Honestly,
now.
Right? And I was like, oh.
It is an eloped marriage.
Yeah, right? Also, you watched our Barbenheimer review, which you should check out. Mm-hmm. And he reminded me of something that we promised to do, like a kind of like a watch companion movie of, was it one of the Sampy romance movies that Claire suggested?
Oh,
Pride and Prejudice.
Oh yeah, we gotta do that, huh?
Yeah,
we could do that.
He's looking forward to that.
I mean, we could do that. We could do, if it's just us, mm-hmm. not Claire, because last time I think the problem was we were trying to share the audio with, like, just true, like, purely Bluetooth.
Oh, right? Yeah, that was bad.
Yeah, so that was the issue. Now, if it's just us and we watch it, like, we record the stream and everything, I think that's doable.
I think that'd be, that'd be easier.
Yeah. So we could do it. It's just we got to find time to do it.
Yeah, there's a whole hour and a half.
I mean, if you want, we could do it next weekend. I think that could work.
I'm done for
maybe
it.
Maybe on a Sunday?
Yeah.
Yeah, we could do that.
I mean, it's a 3-day weekend next weekend.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
Now everyone knows when we're recording. Oh, no.
Yeah. But, we getting back to Creature Commandos, I think part of the reason why we didn't record was because I was dealing with the fires in L.A.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah, so by the time the last episode came out, we already had the Palisades fire, the Eaton fire, like, they're all going on. We essentially had to, well, we didn't have to evacuate, technically. We were still kind of, we were close to the evacuation zone.
Mm-hmm.
So we decided it was best to just evacuate just to be safe.
You never know, honestly.
Yeah, and our neighbor, like, we were hearing from people, because there's a fire that started in Hollywood. And our mm-hmm. friends that were there told us you could see, like, the fire just jumping from tree to, like, from tree to tree.
Wow.
And the fires that we were closest to the Palisades fire, which is, I think, that ended up being historically the biggest fire, or at least the biggest fire event of Los Angeles.
Damn.
We weren't here at on that day, but our neighbor had told us he saw the fires coming over the mountains.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so I mean, from what we've been here, we saw essentially what we heard, because like, yeah. I could see I would be able to see the smoke from my apartment.
Jeez.
Yeah, so it was pretty crazy. We were all kind of just trying to survive.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, so I think that was also why I kind of just forgot about the episode.
Yeah, you're all like, I'm not even home.
Yeah, I was like, I'm trying to survive. I'm trying not to die right now. Yeah. Cool. But, yeah.
Glad you're safe.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah. Now, back, so, back to it.
For this review, Alex came prepared. Yes, I did not. I don't have any notes. So we're going to go off of Alex's notes.
that I have not shared.
Yep. So it's totally going to be new information for me.
So funny. Cool. Yeah, I guess we're going to start off with episode 4, Chasing the Squirrels.
Yeah. And
I know, David, you have quite a bit to say about this, because we talked about it offline, and it is a sad backstory. I didn't realize how sad it was going to be. And now that we know why he's in that prison, I'm like, my heart. The heartstrings.
Yeah, it's probably I think the last episode, I mean, we'll get to that. The last episode is also pretty heart-wrenching, but I think for sure, episode 4 really hits you. Because it mainly focuses on Weasel, or they call him John Doe, because they don't know who he is.
Yeah.
In real life. Just seeing his backstory, how he ended up getting put into Belle Reve, I don't know how it's pronounced. It's really sad.
Yeah, very. And going on to that, it's like when, you know, the lawyer did call him John Doe, it's like almost he's recognizing, and I'm like, is he human?
Yeah.
It was an experiment? When we see him,
because they had just came back from, what's that country? I forgot the name of the country right now. They had just come back from Pokolistan.
Oh yeah, Pokolistan.
Yeah. They just finished their mission stopping Cersei.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then.
And in the backstory.
Yeah.
Because in the backstory, when we first see him, he's in the bushes.
Yeah.
As well, yeah. Which, I'm like, we don't know how he became or how he was born. He could be human, just like Dr. Phosphorus. But I do like one thing in the episode. It's like the foreshadow with Weasel and the little girl.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and that comes in handy in the last episode, which I was like, whoa. It's very interesting.
Yeah, because essentially, they come back from their mission, and the lawyer says that Weasel, or John Doe, is innocent, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And I love the part in the episode where they're in, like, the interrogation room, essentially, but it's just Weasel and his lawyer, and she puts out all these photos of these kids.
Mm-hmm.
Because the kids are part of his backstory, and she asks him, like, do you recognize any of these photos? And there's that small inkling when he sees this photo of this little girl. It's like a little blonde-haired girl. He looks at it, and you see Weasel get a little teary-eyed, and you think something's about to happen, and he just, like, puts the photo in his mouth and starts trying to eat it.
Yeah, and there's, like, moments like that throughout, too. And I'm just like, oh.
Yeah.
But then he just, like, forgets it.
Yeah.
And he just goes by and just gets distracted. He was like, oh, no, never mind.
Yeah, he's kind of like a goldfish.
Yeah, right? And I'm like, okay, is that for us? Is there going to be something more to that, or what?
Yeah, and then they actually show his backstory with, like, I guess he's at a, because he's like, they don't show how he's created. They just show him in these bushes, and and these little kids at a school befriend him.
Right, and I was like, oh, okay, that's kind of cool. He's not dangerous. He's just playing around. He's misunderstood.
Yeah, he just wants friends. He just wants to play. But what was it? It was like some farmer living nearby the school.
He saw him. He was freaking out. Called 911.
Yeah.
Then went to the school with a shotgun, which I'm like, why?
Yeah, because he thinks Weasel's trying to eat the kids or something, I think.
Yeah, that's right. But it's just, the whole thing's insane. Just going with a shotgun. And just like, you could hit a kid with that.
I know.
But yeah.
And essentially, the farmer tries to shoot Weasel. He shoots a gas tank, right? It's like a boiler tank or something.
Something like that.
And it blows up. It kills pretty much everyone except for that blonde-haired girl.
Yeah, and there's a fire.
Yeah, there's a fire, and cops show up, and they see, all they see is Weasel trying to carry this girl up, but because he's carrying her by his teeth.
Yeah, they think he's going to try to eat her.
Yeah.
And so they shoot him, and then they just leave the girl.
Yeah, they left the girl. Like, the girl's alive. Yeah. And the building's just falling, and they just come and, like, they put chains on, like, cuffs on Weasel, and they let the compound just fall on top of the girl.
Oh, that's right. I was like, yeah, did she die?
Yeah, so, and then there's other parts in this episode, right? It had to do with Cersei's thing, because Amanda Waller tries to interrogate Cersei.
Mm-hmm. And Cersei's all just saying, hey, you know, you don't understand. The princess is evil. She's going to kill everyone. She's going to take over. We got to kill her. And then they bring in this, like, specialist that, you know, is going along with what Cersei says and cooperates with her. Yeah.
And Rick Flagg Sr. is like, no, princess would never do that.
Not my princess.
Yeah.
I mean, I get it, but.
Yeah, because he slept with her.
multiple times.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, and, you know, the Creature Commandos, without Rick Flagg, go back to Pokalistan.
Because they're given a new mission. Because the professor specializes, she specializes in Themyscira, right? Yeah. The historical facts. And she said that Cersei has the ability to be clairvoyant, and it's to be expected that whatever she says is true.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they send the team back, minus Rick Flagg Sr., because they think he's too close to this.
Yeah, and they think he's just going to stop it, and they just need people to do it, so they just send the monsters.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then on the helicopter, too, there. This is kind of like the ending scene. Weasel is like, sleeping, and he's like, remembering all this. And Bride goes, oh, he's chasing squirrels. I'm like, oh.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
God. Oh, I thought when you said the helicopter, I thought you were going to talk about Frankenstein, because he is in this episode.
Oh, I forgot. Yeah, he is in there.
Remember, he's like, they're like, it's there's one guy in the helicopter, like, oh, it's Rick Flagg Sr. I worked with him. Mm-hmm. It, like, in somewhere in the past, and Frankenstein's like, he's handsome, she loves him. He's like, so he thinks that the bride is in love with Rick Flagg Sr., and he's like, you think he's better looking than me, don't you? to the pilot, and he's like, what?
Yeah, and just gets out of hand, just kills the pilot, helicopter goes down, and he just walks away from it. I was like, what is going on?
Frankenstein is, I think, he's so unhinged and very unpredictable.
Well, because he's entitled. He believes Bride is his.
Yeah.
So he's like, okay, no, she's going to be mine. And because, you know, in like episode one or two, opening, the first time we saw Frankenstein, he was on a yacht with beautiful women.
Yeah.
But he wants Bride.
Yeah.
Because that is his.
Yeah.
Because she, you know, he thinks that is his.
True.
Yeah. I think my screen froze.
Oh, yeah, looks like it. I thought it was just me.
No, me. Cool, okay. Now we're back.
So I think that was episode 4.
Yep, episode 4. And going on to episode 5, the Iron Pot.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, where Frankenstein confronts Rick Flagg in his house.
Yeah, so because Rick Flagg is trying to call, like, I think the Pakolistan's embassy and everything, trying to warn them that the creature commandos are on their way to kill the princess. And I just remember he gets into his house and Frankenstein comes in out of nowhere and they get into a huge fight. And Frankenstein, what he says something when he comes in, he's like, "Does she love you?" Oh, yeah.
God, he was so into it.
He's so like, "Who? The princess?" Like, "Oh, you call her princess." Yeah, they get in a huge fight. And then I think Rick Flagg essentially gets on top of him, points the gun into his eye, and says to, like, calm down or he's going to shoot him. And I just remember Frankenstein says, calls him a DILF.
I mean,
That's what I remember at that point of the episode. And at the same time, the Creature Commandos unit, they land at Pakolistan, and they meet with, like, the same guards that had met with them the first time around. And the guards, like, "Why are you guys back? Like, what exactly are you here for?" And they're like, "Oh, it needs to know basis."
Yeah.
And the guard's like, "Well, you're here in our country, so I think it's a needs to know."
That's true. That's got to be awkward, too. And it's like, "Oh, yeah. Yeah, just come back to kill the princess. That's all."
Yeah. Yeah, so I remember Frankenstein and Rick Flagg. Mm-hmm. They essentially, what was it? Rick Flagg convinces Frankenstein that if he wants to get to the bride, he needs to help, like, figure out what's going on with this professor.
Yeah, yeah, and then essentially just stop Creature Commandos from killing the princess.
Because Rick Flagg Sr. does not trust the professor at all.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then they actually go to the professor's house.
Well, they go to the university first, right?
Oh, and that's right.
It's kind of weird. Because they're in the bushes, and the professor, you see, like, the professor come into the class, and she comes up to a classmate, right? Mm-hmm. Or, like, a student, and like, starts hitting on the student, because she's like, "Oh, what is Themyscira known for?" Oh, lesbians!
That was weird. I was like, okay.
Sure. Yeah. And then, what happened? Oh, they don't follow her. They go back to her house while she's still on campus, right? Mm-hmm. Then they go to her house before she gets home, and they break into her house. Well, I remember Frankenstein makes a joke about some lady walking her cat.
Yeah.
Right? And then they go into the house, and that's when they find Rick Flagg goes upstairs and he finds the professor, the same professor.
Oh, yeah.
That they saw in the classroom with her neck slit, and she's like just bled out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah. Yeah. It was bad. Honestly, that one got me. I was like, whoa.
Yeah. And while that's going on, back with the Creature Commandos. Mm-hmm. I forgot, how did Rick Flagg, because there's a moment in the episode where Rick Flagg finally gets to the embassy and is able to tell them that Creature Commandos is there to kill the princess.
Yes.
Right? Because that's when the guard that's driving the team around, the Creature Commandos, he gets word about it.
Yeah.
So he decides, like, oh, let's take a detour. This is faster to get to the castle.
Exactly.
Goes in the total opposite direction. And he takes them to, like, some alleyway, and he says to the team, like, he point I think he points a gun at the bride. Right?
I don't think so.
Because I remember he says to them, like, you guys need to stop right here. Like, we know you're here to kill the princess.
Mm-hmm.
And then out of nowhere, Dr. Phosphorus just, like, punches through the guy's face.
Yeah, which I was like, oh, okay, man. I kind of like that guy, too.
Yeah, same.
James Ladd. I was like, damn.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think we all liked him. Even yeah. Dr. Phosphorus was like, man, he's like, damn, I liked him.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, so we... Did this episode focus on anyone? I don't think it did. Like, not a main focus.
No. No one was a main focus.
Yeah. But yeah,
that's a good point.
Essentially, from that point, like, the Creature Commandos are just kind of on the run because now mm-hmm. they're being chased after by the guards. Because yeah. the whole country's guards are all, like, the knights are all after them, trying to stop them from killing the princess. And while Rick Flag and Frankenstein are sneaking around in the professor's house, the quote-unquote, the professor comes
home. Pseudo-professor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's when you realize... The professor goes to the living room, feeds the cat, because the professor has a pet cat, and turns on... Was it a PS5? Or an Xbox?
Xbox.
Oh, it's an Xbox. Yeah. Turns it on, and then morphs into Clayface.
Right, and I was like, oh, this is finally Clayface. I was like, oh, fuck, yeah, okay.
Yeah. what notes did you have for episode 5?
I had... 3 bullet points. One felt like a buddy cop duo between Frankenstein and Rick Flag.
Oh, yeah, because Frankenstein kept going like, we're best friends now.
Yeah, it's so funny. I was like, you know what? I'd fucking watch a movie about them, too.
You know, I remember with, like, back when they're at the university,
mm-hmm.
these kids, like, all these students see them in the bushes, and Frankenstein's like, oh, I seem to have lost my contact lenses.
Exactly, yeah, so, something like that. And then it's like, yeah, Clayface. I was like, finally we can see Clayface.
And also then, voiced by Alan Tudyk,
which honestly Clayface didn't say much, just grunting.
Yeah
And I was kind of surprised by that. But then Rick Flag, Frankenstein, and Clayface just get into a brawl.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, they just fight. And Rick Flag got beaten up pretty bad. I was not expecting that.
I thought his back got broken.
I think his everything got broken. Like,
and Frankenstein...
I was going to say, the ending scene was just Frankenstein over Rick's body. He'd be like, you're going to make it. You're going to get through this. I was like, he's coughing on blood. He doesn't look good, man. But yeah, I feel like, because in the brawl, Frankenstein, like Clayface has Frankenstein, so Frankenstein puts like Clayface's hand or whatever appendage onto the outlet. That kind of shocks him. It just like explodes, Clayface.
I don't know if Clayface is dead.
I don't know either, but he was not moving, and I'm like, is that it? Is that all Clayface?
Yeah, I can't tell, because I don't know if he can technically die.
Yeah, I'm not sure on that one.
But, yeah, he's like, I just remember Frank's like, Flag, you need to tell, he's like, I need you to tell the princess. I need you to tell the bride. That was, he's like, I need you to tell the bride. And Flag's like, you need to go tell the truth. And so that episode ends with Creature Commandos off on the run, and Rick Flag looks like he's dead, and Frankenstein now has to fly off to Bacolistan.
In a private jet, no less.
Yeah. A private jet that he steals, but that's in episode 6.
Yeah. Which we'll get to right now. Episode 6. Prietel Skillet.
Yeah, episode 6, it's on Dr. Phosphorus's background.
Yep, which is kind of cool.
A bit, it touches a bit on that.
Yeah, and it's just the rest of the gang in Pakistan just trying to evade.
Yeah.
The knights, and then they all kind of get split up except for, but then, like, later, Bride and Nina find each other.
Yeah. And then learning Dr. Phosphorus's background, he essentially was a scientist who was trying to find a cure for cancer, right?
Yes.
Was it cancer? And like he, that. But he was also selling the information to, like, some
mafia
gangster. Yeah, a mafia gangster.
Because they're
who was going to sell that information.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it turns out he gave them fake information.
Yeah.
And so they didn't like them, and they got back at him.
Yeah, and they killed his family.
Yep.
And then they put him in the machine that, like, causes chemical radiation or something.
Yeah.
Thinking that it would kill him.
Right, and they just, like, kind of upped everything.
Yeah. And instead of killing him, it turned his body into, like...
radioactive.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's like a skeleton.
And he decides to take revenge against the mafia gangster.
Which, by yeah, fair.
Not only killing the gangster, though, but killing the whole family.
Even and then taking over.
The guy's kids.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he takes over the mafia. Yeah.
And we get a cameo of Batman.
I saw an interview with James Gunn talking about Batman, because they're was the silhouette intentional?
Mm.
And James Gunn was saying, because it's a silhouette of Batman on top of, like, a window with lightning striking around him.
Yeah.
And James Gunn said he's not ready to commit yet to, like, a specific costume for Batman. So he was like, anytime he just wants, he's like, more silhouette. Yeah. More silhouette. Yeah,
make it vague. Vague.
Yeah. Because, like,
I mean, that they makes don't, sense.
Yeah. Because this Batman looked beefy, though.
He was a little
like
beefy.
Just seeing the window like shot, yeah, I was like, "Oh, beef. This looks super." Yeah. So yeah, because there's also the moment where Rick Flag, because they cuts back to Rick Flag,
mm-hmm.
and he's being carried into the hospital.
Yeah,
with Amanda Waller, and what's that other guy's name? He's from
John.
Peacemaker.
Yeah,
is it John? Let me look up his name really quick.
I don't think it's John. I think it's something weird.
Recurring. John Economos. Yeah.
Told you it was John.
So he's there too.
That was weird.
Yeah. So he's there and everything. And they're just trying to figure out, like, what caused all this. And all they know is they got a phone call from... was it from Frankenstein? Someone had saw Frankenstein drop off Rick Flag at the hospital or something, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah,
I don't think Frankenstein has their phone number, and then yeah, he was rushed into surgery too.
Yeah, and we see Frankenstein; he's on a jet or a private jet, mm-hmm. where he essentially kills the people that were on there, except for the pilot.
Well, yeah. Which is like, okay.
Yeah, and he has the pilot take him to Pakolistan.
Yes. Then he goes. And then, I guess it cuts back to everyone in Pakolistan. And actually, Nina and the bride, they find themselves in a brothel, so to speak.
Yeah.
Yeah. Trying to escape. And funny enough, well, I don't know, but the madame, you know who plays her?
I recognize the voice. I just don't know the name of the actress.
Yeah, I'm gonna butcher the name, but Shorey. I'm not saying that. I don't know, but anyways, she played Dr. Kavita Rao in X-Men: Last Stand.
Oh,
you know the doctor that was on the island.
Let me see. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was like, ooh, that was a pleasant surprise.
I recognize her voice
mm-hmm.
from because she does voice acting too and other stuff. So I recognize her initially from Mass Effect.
Oh yeah.
If you ever played Mass Effect 2, she's Admiral Shala Ron Vas Tonbe, which is one of the I forgot what the name of the creatures are, but it's like these creatures where they can't live in a regular like atmosphere, that they always have to be in a suit.
Oh, okay.
And
is it kind of like Tali?
Yeah, Tali. Yeah. I forgot what Tali's species is, though.
Yeah, I forgot too. But that is all I know of Mass Effect. I had a friend who played it, and then I actually have the trilogy, but I've never played it.
Oh, I love that trilogy. But yeah, so I recognize her voice from that. Mm-hmm. She also recently did voice work for there's a show that she just did. I think it was for Arcane.
Oh yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah, she did Arcane. I'm looking at her work right now. She's done The Lion Guard, which is like the Lion King cartoon for kids. The Expanse. She was on there. She's done Kung Fu Panda, the most recent one. Or no, it's a TV show.
Oh yeah, that's right.
But yeah, she's done a lot of work.
It's pretty cool.
Quarian, that's the species. So I recognize her voice when she showed up. I was like, oh, I know that raspy voice from anywhere.
Nice. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, and you see, like, all these patrons that come into this brothel are kind of, like, dicks.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. There's one guy that... What I find interesting is, like, this world is very open about metas.
Dude, honestly, it's very advanced, too.
Yeah.
And I was just like, what's going on? Because you feel like you're thrown into here.
Yeah.
Because in the, you know, previous DCU...
Yeah.
Extended Universe, yeah. Metas weren't a thing, really.
I mean, they were around, but there weren't that many.
No, it wasn't as freely, you know, talked about, or everyone's throwing their powers around like it is now.
And then like, this universe, because there's two patrons that come in, and they essentially they pick one girl out of the group, out of this brothel, and they essentially start beating her.
Yeah, I was like, Jesus.
And the bride comes in, and essentially, does she kill both of them, or she kills one of them?
No.
I know she kills one of them, at least.
I thought she did kill both.
But I know they were metas. Like, for sure, one of them tried to use his powers and she kills him.
Mm-hmm.
But that was interesting to see just, like... Yeah, people were openly using their abilities.
Yeah.
And it did make me wonder... How many people exactly have powers in the sense of, like... Like, what makes a superhero in this world different than just someone that's, like, a meta?
Yeah, because both of them had powers.
Yeah.
And so it's like, okay, but we haven't seen any of the guards, the knights, display power. So...
Yeah.
It's like, how and who?
Yeah.
Like, how many people, and is there, like, a reason for it?
Yeah. And they end up leaving the next day. Or the bride and Nina leave the next day. And Phosphorus, he's like cooped up in some random house. And he runs into this little girl in the house. And I'm scared that he's going to try to kill the family and the girl.
Dude, honestly, he kind of said something about that too when the girl first came. He was like, why did you have to, you know, get hungry, or why did you have to come down?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was
like, but there's a little heartwarming moment because he ends up in the next, when in the morning comes, the girl's parents come downstairs and they hear her giggling. And they see her with Dr. Phosphorus and he's just like tossing her up in the air. Like, because they show in the past, like his flashback, they show that he did that with his own daughter.
Yeah.
And so he's kind of like, it shows that he is human, but because of his past, it's just kind of essentially corrupted him.
Oh, for sure. I mean,
to a point where, like,
he went through a villain arc for sure.
Yeah. And he puts the girl down. He asks the parents, like, "Where's the castle?"
Yeah.
And they, and they point in a direction. He just, like, walks off. And I remember the kid, like, I think the kid waves at him as he leaves.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, so that was funny. That was nice to watch. It was, like, a nice little moment where I didn't have to worry about anyone dying in that scene.
Yeah, right.
And what was Weasel doing? I can't remember.
Weasel? Oh, he was with a pack of wolves.
Oh, yeah. He was, like, spending time with them. He was just, like, cuddling. Mm-hmm. And he has a dream where he sees the girl from his past and the princess. They essentially look the same.
Yeah. Well, so a little then, foreshadowing.
And, yeah, and you, like, he gets this weird, this, like, determination look in his eyes.
Yeah, and he's like, okay, to the castle.
And he looks, yeah. He looks towards the castle, and he just heads off. Dr. Phosphorus heads off to the castle. Mm-hmm. Nina and the bride head off to the castle, and they all just kind of run into each other as they're all walking towards there.
Yeah, I was like, okay, that next episode's going to be lit.
Yes. And then I guess we go into episode 7.
Episode 7, a very funny monster.
Wait, what notes did you have for episode 6?
Dr. Phosphorus backstory, Batman cameo, and then the actress that plays Madame.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, we touched on all that.
Yeah, just three.
Episode 7, it opens up with Rick Flagg waking up, I think, right?
Yeah, from the hospital.
Yeah, and Waller's asking, like, what happened?
Mm-hmm.
And he says, we were wrong.
Yeah. And he tells him that, you know, it's the professor.
Yeah. So Waller and John. Economos. Mm-hmm. They head over to the professor's house, which is where they find Clayface just kind of blown up on the floor.
Dude, still blown up. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, and they go upstairs and they find... Yeah, they go upstairs and they find the professor dead.
Mm-hmm.
And you see in Amanda Waller's eyes, like, she's realizing, like, oh shit, we might cause a world, like, ending event.
Yeah, and I was like, oof.
If we kill the princess and she's innocent. So she tries to get in contact with the Creature Commandos, and we go back, and it kind of cuts back to the Creature Commandos, because this episode is also, while it is the last episode, it's also Nina's backstory.
Yeah.
I just remember the Creature Commandos, they get to the castle, and they climb up the tower, they kill the guard that's there.
Mm-hmm.
And you just see them watching the like a security monitor. They see something, but it doesn't show us what it is. They see the princess.
Yeah, okay, so it blurs it out, but you can tell.
Yeah.
You can tell. I was like, okay, I know. It's kind of funny.
As they're looking at it, you hear, like, Frankenstein shows up.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, my love.
He's, like, hanging from the window.
He's like, my love. And she like, takes out her guns.
Immediately shoots him.
Yeah. He just falls to the floor. And he's like, Rick Flagg sent me. I need to tell you. And then she shoots him.
Yeah, I was like, well, okay. The plot continues.
Yeah. And then Nina's backstory, because it cuts to her backstory,
mm-hmm.
and you find out, like, she was born normal, but her lungs were born outside of her body.
Yeah, so they're kind of like, they're fused.
Yeah, and she struggles to breathe. And her dad, apparently, who's like a world-renowned scientist, builds her like this chest thing for her to breathe. But yeah, it's too heavy.
So heavy.
And her mom is like, I don't know if the word is depressed.
She's breaking down. She's like having a mental breakdown.
She's like,
handle it anymore. And just looking at Nina in that condition.
Yeah.
I mean, It's hard, yeah.
Yeah. And she was saying, like, she's not living a happy life. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not worth letting her live. And the wife just decides to leave.
Yeah, so it's just Nina and...
and her dad.
Dad.
And her dad decide... what was it?
Oh, I was going to say the world-renowned scientist.
Yeah, the world-renowned scientist. And her dad decides to try to figure out some way so that Nina can breathe normally.
Yeah.
He and does a procedure.
Yeah, go on. Yeah.
Oh, I was just saying, he does a procedure on her. And I think he injects her with something, right? Or
it's like some kind of like fish.
Yeah.
So that she can breathe underwater because her lungs are filling up with fluid. And she can't breathe. Yeah. That's the reason.
And instead of that, it turns her into, like, this fish-like creature.
Yeah. Which,
and
coincidentally, looks like the one from Hellboy.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it does. And throughout her childhood, you kind of see, like, her dad is... he does try to put her into school because she grows up being homeschooled. Yeah. He decides to put her into high school because he's like, she needs socialization.
Mm-hmm. Which, kind of a mistake.
Yeah, because she ends up getting bullied by mm-hmm. everyone at school. And I felt really bad for her.
Yeah, dude, I was like, oof. That got me.
Yeah, so she gets bullied. And then, she kind of decides to run away.
Yeah, she writes a letter and be like, hey, I'm a burden to you.
Yeah.
I'm going to leave to free you from this. And he's like, what? No.
Yeah.
You're never a burden. And so he just becomes depressed and she's out free, enjoying nature.
Yeah. And then someone catches her on camera.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of creates like this rumor that there's a monster out in the lake.
Yep. And so dad's like, oh, Nina.
Yeah. And the authorities do capture her,
mm-hmm.
and as they're bringing her in, and she's, like, struggling to breathe, her dad shows up, and he pushes his way through the cops, and as he's running towards her, he tells her, like, she was never a burden.
Yeah, would you look at all?
And then the cops shoot her dad.
Yeah. Dude, man, the cops are shooting people here.
I know. I feel like Lisa, the cops in this
the dad
universe are really bad.
Yeah. I mean, that guy, they put her in a tank in the truck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which I was like, oh, okay, well, at least they know.
And then it cuts back to the Creature Commandos. They are able to get into the castle, and they're hiding in the bushes, because I guess the princess has, like, a daily swim routine. She goes swimming.
She's like, I'm not going to let anyone stop this. I've got guards around me.
Yeah, she's like, you guys are here to protect me. Like, why should I be scared?
Exactly, right?
And she, she's about to go swimming, mm-hmm. and the creature commandos decide, the best way to get to her is Nina, because Nina can swim, and she can breathe underwater. She can kill the princess that way.
And then just sneak out.
Yeah.
And Nina, being all, like, a pacifist, is like, I don't know, but they're able to convince her. Yeah. To do it. And even then, she's still kind of, like, unsure about it. About it. She went,
Yeah. So she does get into the water. I don't know how she gets into the water, how she avoids everyone, but she gets in, because there's guards everywhere.
Yeah, well, it seemed more like a lake.
True.
You know, maybe it was more like pond/pool that they made. But she slips in an area that's, like, unguarded.
Mm-hmm.
And it's deep.
Yeah.
So she's, like, on the bottom, swimming along. And the princess just kind of, like, jumps in from a high dive.
Yeah.
High diving board.
Yeah. She swims around.
Mm-hmm.
And you see Nina's, like, silhouette kind of getting up close with the dagger, getting ready to stab the princess.
Yeah.
But...
I know.
Weasel.
The foreshadowing.
Throughout the whole episode, Weasel, you see him like whining a little bit, and they're like, what's wrong with him?
Yeah. Because he knows.
Yeah.
But
Weasel ends up screaming.
Mm-hmm.
That alerts the guards. Dr. Phosphorus tries to hold Weasel, and Weasel like bites his arm.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, that's a nasty bite.
Yeah, and also Weasel's like, his lips were all burning. Charred.
Yeah.
Yeah. Princess is alerted.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what were you going to say?
I was just saying all the guards are alerted.
Oh, yeah.
So the princess is on, like, a high alert.
Yeah.
And as Nina notices, she tries to still go through with it, but then the princess kind of, like, turns around.
Yeah.
And gives, and, like, look on her face. It's like, ooh.
Yeah, and there's, like...
like, oh, I knew you were going to do this type thing.
Because Nina closes her eyes and just tries to stab forward.
Yeah.
But the princess grabs her arm, and they both end up diving into the water. And I'll be honest, I wasn't expecting it.
Me neither, dude. I was like...
But the princess is able to turn the dagger around and stab Nina multiple times.
Multiple, I know, right? I was like, Jesus Christ.
And then Nina's body floats up. While this is happening, Amanda Waller gets in touch with like one of the guards.
Yeah.
And tells them like to give the phone to the bride to basically say they were wrong. But yeah, by that point, Nina's body floats up, lifeless. The bride sees it and is like, you see her eyes just kind of go in shock.
Mm-hmm.
And as she's just standing there in shock, one of the guards comes up to her and gives her the phone. It's like, this is for you. And Amanda Waller basically calls off the assassination.
Yeah. And yeah, dude. Yeah.
Yeah, and the princess shows up, and you see, like, the princess with, like, blood.
Yeah, and then her demeanor's, like, changed.
Yeah.
She's more, like, you know, skittish and scared. It's like, oh, you know, I had to do what I had to do.
Yeah.
Type vibe.
And then it cuts to the guards around Weasel, treating Weasel as a hero.
Mm-hmm. And Phosphorus trying to heal his wound. With his hand.
Yeah. And the bride goes in to talk to the princess.
Yeah.
Yeah, while the princess is in her office.
Yeah, behind the desk.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, do you want to take over? That this is when it's revealed, right? The big...
Yeah, and so it's like, okay, the bride does this long monologue of, you know, how they, kind of got surprised by all this, but then the bride reveals that on the scary tapes, the princess was walking with Clayface, and I was like, yeah, it was Clayface. And so the princess was like, okay, and she kind of grabs for a gun, but then the bride just shoots her in the head, and I'm like, whoa, that was intense.
And then they just leave without any of the guards knowing.
Like, yeah, and so the bride's like corralling the others. She's like, okay, let's go. Yeah, and then the last thing, like at the end, it's like Brian is back at the prison, and then was it Waller or John that's like, hey, come
John.
Over here. John, yeah, right? John. Okay, so John escorts her to this area and it's filled with other monsters.
Yeah.
And they're basically doing a full-fledged Creature Commandos operation.
Yeah.
And we get to see Nanyue, King Shark.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you were talking about them previously.
Yeah, King Shark.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I was like, why isn't King Shark here? He's considered a monster.
Well, David, your prayers were heard.
I know.
And then we get an upgraded GI robot.
Yeah, he's alive.
Yeah, he's alive.
So part of me is kind of hoping they find a way to bring back Nina.
I don't know, man. It's like retconning like that. I don't.
I guess. Yeah, I know. I mean, it's because they.
But the thing is, it's like Nina as a pacifist. I don't know what role she would play she played a good role in this, as in she's trying to spark the bride. Because the bride didn't, you know, she, the bride was like a loose cannon, just didn't care. Yeah. But now that she is going to be the leader of the new Creature Commandos, it's like, yeah, Nina's death really meant something to her.
Yeah, that's true.
And then it's like, if they're going to retcon that, I don't know, man.
Yeah,
I know, it's sad, but I was like, well, that's how the story goes.
What notes did you have for episode 7?
So I had like 5. Nina was coaxed. The weasel's foreshadowing.
Yeah.
The little blonde girl and the princess. And then mm-hmm. Princess Yana, I forgot that's her name, turns around. You know, it's like a different demeanor. She kills Nina.
Oh, yeah. And Ilana. Right? Ilana?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then 908, King Shark, and the GI robot. One thing I didn't understand is, okay, this whole thing, Cersei is trying to be like, oh, she's going to take over, right? But then why did Clayface, as the professor, go along with being like, yeah, Cersei's right?
No, I don't. So I think the idea is the professor that said Cersei's right is the actual professor.
Oh. That's a good point, because we don't know when the actual professor died.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Now I understand. Because Clayface did, yeah, because Clayface met with the princess, and then Clayface went over to kill the professor, because the professor was the only one that could verify Cersei's vision.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
So, yeah, I think...
I am not confused anymore.
I mean, I really enjoyed the show.
Me too.
It got renewed for season 2.
Hey. And that's when I'll renew my Max subscription.
We got Peacemaker season 2 coming out.
When?
Let me see. When does Peacemaker season 2
come out? Damn, I forgot about that. Oh, you know what?
August 2025.
Okay, that's when I'll renew my Max subscription.
I have it's like the, what's it called?
The bundle.
Bundle?
Disney Plus.
The three, Hulu. Disney Plus, Hulu, and HBO Max. I got the highest tier one, so it's like $30.
Commercials?
No commercials. Not a bad deal if you think about it.
It's not a bad deal, but just wait until they increase.
Well, right the now, the... Well, I don't know if they're going to increase the price that much just because the bundle, because the reason they have the bundle, if you think about it from a marketing standpoint, is like if you have HBO Max on its own, right? Yeah. Once the show that you're watching is over, you would just cancel it, right? But they want you to stay.
No, yeah,
so
of course.
So if you get the bundle, oh, your show with HBO Max that you're watching is done. Maybe there's now something on Disney Plus that you want to watch. Yeah. Or maybe there's something on Hulu now that you want to watch. So it's obviously there's like intentional like plan behind it.
I mean, for them to be like, okay, because we know Disney and Fox, Disney basically owns Hulu now, because originally it was made by Fox, Comcast, and Disney, but then Disney bought Fox, and then I think they bought out Comcast's share on Hulu, so Disney basically owns Hulu now. And now that was this bundling with HBO, which is owned by Time Warner. Oh, no. Because Time Warner owns HBO, and it's owned by Discovery. That's right. Discovery bought them.
Yeah.
How are they doing? I'm curious now they're going to do the subscription split, like the revenue type thing. Because it's going to be like a third, and the Disney just gets like 2/3 of it.
Probably, honestly.
You know?
Probably that's how they're going to do it, but...
I mean, from a comic book standpoint, it's kind of cool because you get all the superheroes with one subscription. I just never thought it was going to happen, but I know people are like, oh, we're going to have a great rebundling type thing where like companies are going to bundle their apps together.
Yeah.
Like we are seeing right now.
Yeah, I don't know exactly the math behind it, but...
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it looks... It looks like it'll. To me, it's a good deal because originally I was already paying $20 just for HBO Max.
Damn.
Because that comes with the Dolby Atmos.
What do you listen to that on your TV?
Yeah.
Do you have external speakers?
Remember, I have two HomePods.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
Yeah. So I have that. But with the bundle, it's $30. Dolby Atmos, I think, is applied to that.
Oh, that's cool. Nice.
So I get, because I was paying only for commercials on Disney Plus and Hulu. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't come with Dolby Atmos support.
That itself was already
$10.
I mean, so basically $10 more, you get Disney Plus and Hulu commercial free.
Yeah.
It's not a bad deal.
So with the bundle, I only paid $30, which is about the same price I was already paying. Mm-hmm. And it comes with Dolby Atmos.
Nice.
But yeah, what would you this came back to Creature Commandos. Rate it as a whole season?
As a whole? Oh, yeah, I like that. Honestly, I'd give it a 9.
Same.
It's pretty decent. I enjoyed it. I'd watch it again. Yeah. If I had the subscription.
I really enjoyed it. I thought it was good. I liked this intro to the universe that they have.
Same.
In a weird way, the universe feels, I mean, based on this show, at least right now, what they've given us, it feels a bit like Invincible.
A little bit, honestly. It's more adult, more mature.
Yeah.
It's not geared towards kids, for sure.
Yeah. But, to be fair, James Gunn said each, like, depending on what the project is, whether it's like Superman or Green Lantern or whatnot, the style is going to fit what the movie needs.
Which is cool.
So, I'm sure they're not going to do something like gory, as gory or whatnot for Superman.
I know,
see how, like, unhinged these characters can be. And how violent they can be.
Because they are villains.
Yeah.
You know, they don't care if they kill or not. So it's like, yeah, you're going to see some blood.
Yeah. Mm. So I enjoyed it. I liked it. But it was pretty intense to see.
Yeah, honestly. And I like that the live action actors are playing the animated characters.
Yeah. If they show up in live action, they will be.
Yeah. I mean, exactly. Which is cool, but I guess Princess Lana's not going to show up.
Yeah.
Yolanda?
But they did say also, because James Gunn had mentioned it too recently, where it's more so if the actor plays a prominent role for this character, like if this character is a prominent role in the show.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Then they'll be played by the same actor. Because they're coming out with, there's rumors right now, they just got Daniel Craig, to play a character that's based, that's one of the characters from G.I. Robot's backstory, one of the sergeants.
Oh, that's cool.
Let me see. Daniel Craig, DC movie.
What movie is that going to be?
It's Sergeant Rock. It's a World War II movie. And, the character does show up in the show, but it's like a very minor role.
Yeah, and
so, but for the movie itself, it looks like they're getting Daniel Craig for it.
Yeah, and it seems like it's gonna be a more major role in the movie.
Yeah, but yeah, I'm excited. Superman coming out this year in July.
Yeah,
apparently a new trailer is coming out tomorrow.
Oh, really?
But not for the Super Bowl. It's going to be for the Puppy Bowl.
Of course. So it's going to be geared towards crypto.
Yes. Because James Gunn says one of the big influences for this movie was when he and his wife had adopted their new dog.
Mm-hmm.
And that dog helped inspire the idea of having crypto in the movie.
Cool. I mean, honestly, we've never had crypto in the movie before.
Yeah. So I'm excited.
Yeah, same. This will be cool to see how the dynamic is.
But, I guess that's our long-winded review. I guess the next thing we're doing is Pride and Prejudice?
Pride and Prejudice.
All right, the, I guess we'll do that. Yeah, I guess we'll do that on what day? Thursday? No, not sorry, not Thursday. Sunday.
Yeah, we do Sunday next week.
Yeah.
Since there won't be any football.
Yeah. I actually just canceled my NFL Sunday ticket.
Me too.
Yeah, I was like, football season's over.
It's over. It's good. Now. Yeah. American football. All right. For the international listeners.
Oh, yeah. American football.
American football. Cool.
Not football.
Football Americano.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. I guess we'll see everyone next time when we review. Not Brian review. We'll do a react video. That's what they're called.
Yes. Yeah, it'll be fun. Cool.
All right. See everyone next time.
All right. See you on the next one. Ciao. And fade.